All right, happy Saturday afternoon to everybody. We've got the 49ers roster moves ahead of their game against the Patriots and a couple big promotions, at least temporary ones, for undrafted rookies on the 49ers practice squad. So first, we start with the room that the 49ers created on the 53-man roster. Officially, Javon Hargrave and Curtis Robinson to injured reserve. Hargrave with the triceps tear that will require surgery. Curtis Robinson, an ACL tear that will shelve him for the season. I should emphasize that there is a chance that Javon Hargrave returns late this year. Kyle Shanahan did not rule that out, and that's just something that I would keep in mind. One of the best interior pass rushers in the game. Obviously, a big blow for the 49ers to lose him. He led the team with 5 pressures against the Rams. Moves the quarterback off his spot consistently, even if he's not generating a pressure or a sack per se. So in the case of Javon Hargrave, don't forget his name because he might still be a factor at some point this season for the 49ers. The two call-ups, Evan Anderson and Jalen Mahoney, both undrafted free agents. They're both rookies for the 49ers. They were with the team throughout the offseason. Then they were waived. They cleared waivers and they re-signed to San Francisco's practice squad. These guys are eligible to make their NFL debuts tomorrow. I'm going to open up the roster so you have a chance to see exactly where Anderson and Jalen Mahoney might fit in. Anderson, the defensive tackle, that is at the position where Javon Hargrave has just gone to IR for the 49ers. We can zoom in on it right here, and you could see the starting 4 defensive linemen. Now, Jordan Elliott is questionable, but I got a chance to talk to him in the locker room yesterday. He rolled his ankle on Thursday. It does seem like he's going to be okay and ready to play for the 49ers, which is big news. But Bosa on one of the edges, Floyd on the other edge. Malik Collins and Jordan Elliott are your 2 starting defensive tackles. Kevin Givens is the 3rd defensive tackle, but they needed a 4th one for the rotation with Javon Hargrave going to injured reserve. So it was essentially a 3-way battle this week at practice between Evan Anderson, T.Y. McGill, the veteran, and Shaquel Brown, whom the 49ers brought back into the fold this week to take that final defensive tackle spot, the 4th and final spot in the rotation. And based on the practice squad call-up news, Evan Anderson has won that battle. So it'll be interesting to see him make his NFL debut for the 49ers. Does he have to play a whole heck of a lot of snaps? No, not necessarily. Yetur Gross-Matos, they might use him a little bit more on the inside since he's a versatile guy. Obviously, you can up the snap counts for Malik Collins and especially Jordan Elliott, who's been at about 20 snaps a game. Hargrave had been between 35 and 40 snaps a game. I do think that Elliott will get a bigger load because of the Hargrave injury. Givens probably gets a bigger load as well. And Evan Anderson gets an early chance to prove himself. Then you move down to Jalen Mahoney. That's going to be here. It's going to be at the safety position, which I am highlighting right now. Mahoney, that's insurance because Talanoa Hufanga, you see him shaded here in the injury color. He also turned his ankle at practice. Hufanga is questionable. If Talanoa cannot go tomorrow, then you probably see George Odom or maybe even Malik Mustafa slide into one of the starting spots opposite Jair Brown. And then Jalen Mahoney moves up as the playable depth at that position. If Hufanga can go, it's likely, I think, that the Jalen Mahoney is inactive tomorrow, even though the 49ers have kept the option of him playing. That being said, maybe they need Mahoney on special teams, so maybe they would have 5 safeties up for the game, although they typically have only had 4 up for the game. So I see that as an insurance policy for the 49ers. You could probably read between the lines for some good news here. Chris Hubbard's on the practice squad at tackle. The 49ers did not call him up from the practice squad. Trent Williams was not able to practice due to a sore toe on Friday. I think if they were really concerned about his toe today on Saturday, Hubbard might have gotten one of the call-ups. Hubbard did not get one of the 2 call-ups, so you might be able to read that as decent news for Trent Williams. Then there is a 53-man roster promotion. Congratulations to Sam Okwuonu, who is now officially part of the 49ers 53-man roster. He was on the practice squad before, so he was in this spot at defensive end. Sam Okwuonu, who had a sack last week of Matthew Stafford, he's now full-time 53-man guy. for technically the second time this season. Remember, he started the season on the 53, part of the procedural shift that the 49ers made. Then they cut him, he cleared waivers, and he came back and joined the practice squad. But they've used up his call-ups. That's why he was able to play last week. He was a practice squad call-up. So now he is a full-time 53-man guy. Probably would slot him ahead of Robert Beal on the depth chart. Obviously, Bosa's at the top. Leonard Floyd on the other side for the 49ers. Yetur Gross-Matos and Sam Okwuonu gives the 49ers a pair of additions that were previously on the practice squad. At least one, that's him, that was previously on the practice squad, plus Evan Anderson, who is a practice squad call-up for this game against the Patriots. It's a big bump in pay for Sam Okwuonu. You get about $1 million per year, divide that up into the 18 pay period checks over the course of the season if you're on the 53-man roster, whereas the maximum practice squad salary is, what, somewhere between $200,000 to $300,000 per year, so much, much bigger check for the game if you are just actually on the 53-man roster instead of just the practice squad. So those are the 49ers roster moves ahead of this game. This right here is my article ahead of this game. Came out yesterday on the Standard headline. The 49ers offense is already clicking. Two big weapons may give it another boost. We can talk a little bit more about this later, but for now, go ahead and sign up for the Standard. Mike has put the link to this article in the description, so you click on it. It's free to just put in your email so you can get some of these articles emailed to you, maybe even all of them emailed to you. But this is the one yesterday. Check out that picture. It's a nice picture of Brock Purdy warming up at SoFi Stadium. The big thing with the 49ers offense, and I go through some of the numbers in this piece, they are way more explosive than the Patriots, who are number 32 on throws that travel over 10 or more yards as far as the yards accumulated to those throws. The Patriots dead last, 84 yards. 49ers first in the league at 581 yards. To me, there is no more impressive stat than that for Brock Purdy. 581 yards this season on throws of 10 or more yards downfield, despite the fact that he's faced more eight-man coverages than any other quarterback in football by over 2x. I mean, over twice as the amount of three-man rushes, eight-man coverages that Brock Purdy has faced this year, because opponents are, that's the way that they're handling this 49ers defense. They're trying to take away the yak. They're trying to put extra men in coverage. Those types of coverages typically preclude quarterbacks, or try to preclude quarterbacks, from attacking downfield. They try to encourage checkdowns. Yet Brock Purdy is still delivering at the league best rate on those throws of 10 or more yards downfield. That being said, 49ers rank last in yak. They've been missing Deebo Samuel. They've been missing George Kittle. They've been missing Christian McCaffrey. And Brock Purdy is number two in terms of the rate of throws going into tight windows. So tight window percentage, over 23% for Brock Purdy. That means that everything that he has delivered so far this year, and it's been a very positive contribution from him, but it seems that everything that he's delivered, he's had to strain for. It's been tough for the 49ers. So they do need Deebo Samuel back. They do need George Kittle back. They'd love to get Christian McCaffrey back whenever that does happen this year. They need Juwan Jennings to continue delivering for this football team. They need Brandon Ayuk to play better. They need him better, you know, better performance from Brandon Ayuk on those separation scores, better performance on those catch point scores. We saw a good example of that last week. As this arsenal continues to round into form, both health-wise and just shape-wise, over the course of this early season, we should see the 49ers make defenses be a little bit more honest, not as many gambles on eight-man coverages. And with that, we should see better yak from San Francisco. They've consistently been number one in the league. Now they're dead last to start this season. And we should see greater and easier offensive efficiency as time goes along. Although Brock Purdy already ranks in the top five, number four in EPA per dropback, despite the fact that he's been having the sled uphill for San Francisco. So that's what I wrote about. You could go sign up for it and check it out on the San Francisco Standard. Put it back up here big on the big screen for you. Again, great picture. Love the one that they picked. It's from, of course, it's from Z. Michael Zagaris, Getty Images. He's the guy that's there. He's been there for decades
taking awesome photos, behind the scenes stuff of the 49ers in the locker room and apparently while they're warming up. But I think that this is definitely worth your time signing up for the Standard. Easy to put your email in there so that way you can check out everything that we're pumping out as far as 49ers coverage goes. Some video content from yesterday. You get a look at Brandon Ayuk wearing the red shorts. Get a look at the 49ers yak rankings, which obviously are not up to snuff so far this year. Talk about Javon Hargrave. All the news ties into what we learned today from the 49ers. So Hargrave and Robinson, two injured reserve. Evan Anderson and Mahoney are the practice squad call-ups. 49ers going with a couple undrafted rookies. Is that mildly surprising? I think in the case of Evan Anderson, he's up against trusted veterans. Last year, T.Y. McGill was getting those practice squad call-ups for the 49ers, and he's back with the team as an option, but they go with Anderson instead. They potentially see some upside there. I mean, he's a big player, checks in around 320 pounds. Remember, the run defense for the 49ers has not been good enough, and it's generally fallen off since, well, they were still good in 2022, but I do think that a big loss for the 49ers personnel-wise that they've had the strain to try to overcome since it happened was DJ Jones signing in free agency, Denver Broncos. The 49ers have not had that kind of size-speed combination, size-explosiveness combination since DJ was there. They think they've got a little bit of it, at least with Jordan Elliott, who's going to get more of a chance now with Javon Hargrave heading to injured reserve. But maybe they've got something as well in Evan Anderson. They also like Jalen Mahoney because he did everything right over the course of his first rookie offseason. Assignment sound safety out of Vanderbilt, and I think that he does give you a nice high floor backstop in case somebody like Talanoa Hufanga can't play in this game. And then Sam Okwuonu, well, Sam, he's been somebody who the 49ers have obviously tabbed as a good fourth defensive end for their rotation, number four, number five guy who can help fill out the depth situation, the depth equation for this team when it is needed. And I think it has been needed for the San Francisco along those edge rushing spots, given the state of this team. I mean, we can go back to the 49ers 90-man roster. People were going crazy when we predicted that San Francisco might be interested in defensive linemen in the draft. And they're like, why do they need defensive linemen? Well, it's such a critical position. There's a high rate of attrition at the position. And I don't think the 49ers were tremendously deep there to begin with. It's not like we're in 2019 anymore. Plus, even in 2019, once they suffered a couple injuries, that unit got thin. But you've got Bosa, you've got Leonard Floyd, you got Yetur Gross-Matos. Beyond that, it's been a free-for-all for who can grab that fourth spot. Robert Beal, part of that, special teams guy for San Francisco. Alex Barrett has been the practice squad stalwart for years. And then the only other defensive end on the entire roster has been Sam Okwuonu. And Okwuonu called up from the practice squad to the 53-man roster for a full-time promotion for San Francisco. I'm ready to take some of your questions. These have been some interesting roster moves, especially with the undrafted free agents. So why don't we open this up to 49ers Q&A? Why don't you take a look at what we wrote for the Standard here while we answer these questions? Go sign up, toss your email in. Link is in the description. Shouldn't be that hard. Hey, I could even take this link, actually. This makes it easier for people. Go to the chat section. If you're watching later, you could stick with the description. But go to the comment section. And there it is. That's the URL. I think you have to actually click on the comment, not on the screen that you're watching right now. 49ers offense clicking. Two big weapons may give it another boost. 49ers Q&A is officially open. Nigel asking, do we think we see more of Rock Ya-Sin, the veteran cornerback, in this game? I mean, if Isaac Yiadom is struggling a lot, and it's just hard for me to see the Patriots victimizing anybody all too much through the air. Patriots are going to run a lot of two tight end sets in this game. They've got Hunter Henry. They have Austin Hooper on the team, but this is a heavy run team. So I've talked so much about Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson, 227 and 228-pound backs over the course of this week. And obviously the 49ers are going to have to buckle up and you know, get ready to puff their chests out in their direction, because this is going to be one of those manly run game and run defense games. And San Francisco hasn't been great against the run so far. They're ranked number 28. That's going to be the focal point, but every team strives for a balance. Every team strives to keep a defense off balance. And the way that New England tries to do that is through two tight end sets, through some play action. So the 49ers have to be ready to cover those tight ends. So I don't think that, you know, deploying Rock Ya-Sin or trying to make a change at some of those cornerback spots directly helps the 49ers in that regard. This is a question of how well somebody like Jair Brown is going to cover, how well somebody like Fred Warner is going to cover. Your non-cornerbacks are going to be the ones covering the tight ends. And in the New England Patriots case, it's Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper. I know that Isaac Yiadom got picked on a little bit last game against the Rams. I do wonder if the Patriots have the personnel to continue to make that a problem, or if they're going to be running more bunch kind of stuff to their tight ends in this game, in which case it's a different coverage assignment for the 49ers. Harry asks, what side of the line was Burford working at tackle this week? We're not in there at the actual 11-on-11 portions of practice, so that remains unclear. I'm going to have to ask Spencer in the locker room, so I'll have an answer for you next week. I do know that he played left tackle in college at San Antonio, and I do know that he's played right guard for the 49ers here, and the fact that he has played on both the left and the right side gives some level of hope that he can play either left tackle or right tackle. And I wouldn't firmly determine anything on Trent Williams' status until we actually see Trent Williams in uniform ready to go tomorrow. Would Spencer Burford be a realistic fill-in already? It's a good question. I think that the shift to tackle has been fairly recent at the start of the regular season for the 49ers, as far as at least giving him some work there. So I'm not quite sure how ready he would be, but it's something that we'll definitely keep an eye out for. Bo says, I hope it's at right tackle because McKivitz is having a bad start to the season. The pass protection has definitely left something to be desired from Colton McKivitz, especially when Byron Young beat him on the two-minute drill play. Cost the 49ers a chance at 3 points that would have come in very handy. You know, when we put the puzzle pieces together, Jalen Moore seems way more comfortable at left tackle. That's where he almost exclusively works. So I'm guessing if they're trying to bring in more tackle strength and they're trying to develop Spencer Burford into that, I would guess that it makes more sense to work him on the right side since Moore is so much better on the left. But again, that's something I'll have to try to figure out over the course of the next few days when I talk to Spencer Burford in the locker room. Nigel says that Kittle and Debo back should open this game more. That's exactly what I wrote up on this article on the Standard. So again, go ahead and check it out. Sign up for the Standard. You'll have an email prompt as soon as you visit that article. Ben asks, when will Cowing get his shot? As soon as he's earned the trust of Kyle Shanahan as a blocker, as somebody who knows the full playbook and is ready to deliver with a higher floor than the next best option, because we know that he has a ceiling with some of his burst, but it's about the floor to be able to get some playing time. Second question here from Ben is also, when Pearsall's activated, will he immediately get snaps or will he sit for a while like Cowing has? Well, first, Pearsall's practice window will be opened and the 49ers anticipate that happening next week. He can be activated before the Seattle game. Then we just got to see where he's at, and that's going to depend on the practice between now and then. If he's fully ready to go, if he's hitting all the markers in practice, if he has full command of the playbook and Kyle Shanahan likes what he's seeing, yeah, I think he could play. It just takes a lot to do that as a rookie. We're going to go with our predictions later tonight. There'll be another show later tonight, so go ahead and stay tuned for that. See Bo picking the 49ers to win 33-10. What's the offensive game plan this week, asks Mike. Block Keon White. Keon White can be a game record at any position. edge rusher. Kyle Shanahan said he's especially scary when he's rushing inside. One of the many things I covered right here on the Standard in our weekly preview. Shane thinks that Purdy's going to have a mind-blowing game. I can give you a mind-blowing statistic about how Brock Purdy's been delivering for the 49ers. This, to me, is staggering. And it's something that everybody should hear, especially people trying to doubt Brock Purdy. Here it is. Defenses are dropping 8 into coverage against Brock Purdy at a 2x higher rate than they do against other QBs. And he's still leading the NFL in passing yards. Still leading the NFL in passing yards, despite the fact that he's facing 8-man coverages more than twice as often as the second highest quarterback. 8-man coverages are designed to not allow longer throws. They're designed to encourage the check down. Yet Brock Purdy is obviously not taking the check downs. He's going for bigger plays, and he's succeeding in that, right? Number 4 in efficiency and number 1 in yardage on throws of 10 or more yards in the air. Do I think that Sorensen can turn the defense around even with the losses that it has sustained? I think it's about keeping the defense afloat for the time being. If you're the 49ers, like I said, you might get Javon Hargrave back late in the year. Dre Greenlaw, you're expecting back about halfway through the year. Kalia Davis can help the 49ers remain afloat at Hargrave's defensive tackle position probably at some point in the next few weeks. So you've got to keep it afloat. You might not be a world beater on defense, but you can be better than you were over the past 2 weeks. That's for sure. Bo says people are starting to come around on Brock. I would say it's about damn time. It's embarrassing. You got a guy that's leading the league by wide margins in essentially every single category since he took over as the starting quarterback in 2022. And you have people still questioning him when I don't think they'd be questioning anybody that was a higher draft pick doing what Brock Purdy has done. But they don't have that issue. The media doesn't, because nobody has come close to performing at Brock Purdy's level, especially from the draft pick that he was selected at as 262. But the goalposts continually shift, but people are running out of places to which to shift the goalposts for Brock Purdy. The last bastion, right? The last real loud argument against Brock Purdy was he can't do it without his weapons. Well, he did it last week without most of his weapons. He elevated somebody like Juwan Jennings, just as much as Juwan Jennings elevated him. But the point is that it's a team sport, and Brock Purdy is driving his team at a very efficient level in this team sport. Mike always has the most rational takes. Expecting Sorensen to be an elite DC from day one is insane. He was always going to need time to adjust and learn. The NFL is very hard. Yes, I think that's the overarching takeaway. The NFL, there's constantly a supply of younger, hungrier, less injured players entering the league. Every single season, we have an event called the draft where that happens. And then you've got undrafted free agency where worthy guys enter as well. And, you know, because of that, it's really hard to stay good if you're an NFL team, especially a team filled with veterans. Every year, someone is taking aim at your spot on that pecking order. Every single season, it's a thing. And the exhaustion to go through 60 or 20 game seasons in 3 straight years, so it's 60 games over the past 3 years, the exhaustion that goes with preparing throughout that entire saga, withstanding injury, or even if you do see injuries, finding a way to get your body ready and play through them, that takes a toll. It takes a massive toll on a team, and being able to stay hungry and stay in front of the curve is really tough. The 49ers have stayed in front of the curve with their team for so many years, and that in and of itself, I think, is an impressive accomplishment. Thank you to Michael Rojas. You're awesome, man. Thanks. Appreciate it. those of you who are here, make sure you go check out the Standard. That's something I'm obviously trying to let people know. I switched jobs recently. Standard, go to the YouTube channel if you're watching on Twitter, and go ahead and click on the description. The link is in there. If you're listening to the podcast, then go to the YouTube channel to go check that out. All right, that is your 49ers update. One more time, Hargrave and Robinson, IR, Anderson and Mahoney called up temporarily. Okwuanu, full-time from the practice squad to the 53-man roster. 49ers Patriots coming up later tonight. Hit the alarm bell notification so you know when I will be live. We'll have the prediction coming in a few hours.